Thank you for having me. This is actually, this research is part of a very large project that is funded by the National Institute for Drug Abuse and the National Institute for Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. So I would like to acknowledge their generous funding and support, but I have no other financial relationships or conflicts of interest to disclose. So as part of these large R01 big funding databases comes a huge study team that spans across Massachusetts, including the Boston University School of Public Health, where Judith Bernstein is the principal investigator of the project, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, and the MGH Division of General Academic Pediatrics, where I have been working on this project with Milt Cuttlechuck, who's the co-PI, and who was supposed to present today, but he sends his regards that he wasn't able to attend. So I will do my best to emulate his ability. So, yeah. Yep. Is this better? Okay. I'll just kind of, okay. So addiction to substances is a national public health problem among women of reproductive age. While prevalence estimates vary by the type of substance used and pregnancy status, it's estimated that approximately 10% of women who are aged 15 to 44 use illicit drugs in the U.S. However, substance use and abuse is not typically identified or addressed in the clinical care setting. Substance use and abuse during the prenatal period incurs very specific and unique risks to women and their neonates. It increases the risk for obstetric and medical complications, as well as adverse birth outcomes and long-term health and behavioral outcomes in offspring. However, despite the widespread effects of drug abuse and dependence on women and their children, there are some critical gaps in our knowledge about the prevalence and effects of substance use disorder during and treatment and drug-related health outcomes for women of reproductive age and their families. So first, there are pretty limited data to estimate the number of women of reproductive age who need but are not enrolled in substance abuse treatment. So current prevalence surveillance estimates usually depend on either a medical record review for those who elect to enroll in studies, which don't necessarily provide generalizable data, or national surveys, which only capture self-reported measures. So second, epidemiologic analyses often separate mothers and children into separate entities, and this limits our ability to investigate the impact of substance use and abuse on subsequent birth outcomes. So therefore, the purpose of this study, which links multiple sources of data, was to determine first the population-based prevalence of substance use disorder and the impact of substance use disorder on women's use of health services, their obstetric experiences, and their birth outcomes. And second, among those with identified substance use need, the prevalence and impact of treatment. The data for these analyses is drawn from a population-based data set of all singleton deliveries that occurred in the state of Massachusetts between 2003 and 2007. This data set links three existing state databases, the core of which is the Population-Based Pregnancy to Early Life Longitudinal System, or PEL. And PEL is a state linkage between records of live births and fetal deaths and their associated maternal and infant discharge records at the time of delivery. So this core of PEL was further linked to preceding and post-delivery hospitalizations for both mothers and their children, which includes all inpatient, observational stay, and emergency department discharges. And then these data were linked to the Massachusetts Bureau of Substance Abuse Services, or BSAS, treatment records. So we were able to obtain treatment records for over 25,000 annual admissions of women of reproductive age to publicly funded treatment service facilities. So this data linkage resulted in a final sample of almost 376,000 singleton deliveries in Massachusetts during the study period. Yes?
So you were only looking at live births of people who had
no. No, this was all singleton deliveries in the United States. So the BSAS treatment, so the treatment analyses are only focused on publicly funded treatment services, but the first analyses of just identifying need was for all of the population of Massachusetts. Is that difficult? We identified substance use disorder within 1 year of conception, during pregnancy, or at the time of delivery using the MSANT algorithm, which is the explicit mention substance abuse need for treatment algorithm. This was designed by the study team. It's an ICD-9 code-based algorithm that was developed to identify probable cases of substance use among women. The ICD-9 subgrouping codes were drawn from two existing validated classification systems that had been developed for adult populations, and this was tailored specifically to identify cases of women and to separate comorbid psychiatric disorders from the definition. So MSANT served as the primary source of SUD identification. However, we also used birth certificate data to identify cases of neonatal abstinence syndrome, as well as reported treatment use during the preconception and pregnancy periods to classify women as having substance use disorder. Treatment was defined by the presence of an ICD-9 code for inpatient detox or by a record of treatment from the BSAS reporting system. So we looked at multiple modalities, both a full range of detox and more comprehensive BSAS services, as well as short-term, so detox within hospitalizations. So it's important to reiterate here that the BSAS treatment records only report on publicly funded treatment services, so we were unable to look at whether or not women had received treatment out of state or from a private detox facility. We examined a broad range of perinatal outcomes that were broadly grouped into three categories. We looked at women's use of healthcare services, so their prenatal care, their prenatal and postnatal observational stays, and ER visits. We looked at the prevalence of obstetric experiences, including pregnancy-related conditions like gestational diabetes and preeclampsia, and delivery complications. And then finally, we looked at birth outcomes, including fetal death or stillbirth, preterm birth before 37 weeks gestation, low birth weight, less than 2,500 grams, neonatal mortality, which is within the first month of birth, and postnatal mortality, which is death occurring within 1 year after delivery. Descriptively, we looked at a variety of factors that might be associated with substance use disorder and substance use treatment, including women's demographic, health, and socioeconomic factors. We also controlled for these variables in the multivariable analyses. So moving on to the results. First, we identified over 20,000 singleton deliveries during the study period as being substance use positive within 1 year of conception during pregnancy or at the time of delivery. And therefore, we presumed that these women also had a need for treatment. This figure represents about 5.5% of the total number of deliveries in Massachusetts, or about 4,100 births every year. Compared to deliveries that without substance use, SUD-positive deliveries were more likely to occur among younger, less educated, and non-English-speaking women. They were also more likely to occur among women who were unmarried, non-privately insured, and among women with health conditions or psychiatric disorders. With regard to the type of drugs associated with substance use disorder, alcohol was the most frequently coded substance of use at 57.3%, followed by opiates, crack cocaine, and cannabis. Multiple substances, so alcohol and drugs, were identified in almost half of all deliveries that were identified as having substance use disorder. We then examined the impact of substance use disorder on pregnancy and neonatal outcomes. So the main finding from these analyses were that women, and I'll show these descriptively, graphically in just a second. The main findings from these analyses were that women with SUD used more health services both before, during pregnancy, and at the time of delivery than women without substance use disorder. These deliveries were also associated with more complicated pregnancies and inadequate prenatal care and worse birth outcomes. So in this figure, you can see the distribution of healthcare service utilization during the prenatal period or perinatal period for women with SUD and without SUD. 25% of mothers with SUD reported inadequate prenatal care versus 15% of mothers without SUD. Mothers with SUD were also more likely to have antenatal and postnatal ER visits and antenatal and postnatal hospitalizations. Adverse obstetric experiences were also more common among the SUD-positive deliveries, including pregnancy-related conditions, which occurred in almost 42% of deliveries, and delivery complications, which occurred in over 70% of deliveries. With the exception of postneonatal mortality, the frequency of adverse birth outcomes was higher among the SUD-positive deliveries than among the non-SUD deliveries. These relationships attenuated, but remain statistically significant in the fully adjusted model. In these models, women with substance use disorder were 35% more likely to give birth to a low birth weight, or I'm sorry, a preterm infant, and 75% more likely to give a birth to a baby born less than 2,500 grams than women without substance use disorder. So with regards to treatment, we found that approximately 66% of women with substance use disorder had evidence of ever receiving some mode of treatment. And receipt of treatment was associated with older maternal age, higher education, private insurance status, and living in a metropolitan area of Massachusetts. So treatment utilization varied by the type of substance. Cannabis use was associated with the lowest prevalence of treatment, and barbiturate use was associated with the highest prevalence of treatment, although still fewer than 50% of women with SUD in any of these specific categories reported receiving treatment. So in the multivariable analyses, this was among women with substance use disorder. Again, we saw that substance use disorder was associated with an increased risk for preterm birth, low birth weight, neonatal mortality, and fetal death. However, once we accounted for treatment, across all of these outcomes, this relationship attenuated when we put treatment into the model. So this provides some preliminary evidence that treatment services are beneficial to infants and their mothers. So in summary, we noted a high prevalence of drug and alcohol exposed infants that were born in Massachusetts between 2003 and 2007, as well as a significant negative impact of substance use disorder on perinatal and neonatal outcomes. However, treatment appeared to provide some beneficial effect, and in future analyses, we will explore SUD treatment more thoroughly to identify what treatments work best and during what time period and why. But for now, we can conclude that women with substance use disorder use more health services during pregnancy and shortly thereafter. They have more complex pregnancies and worse birth outcomes than women without substance use disorder. And while treatment services may be beneficial in mitigating the impacts of SUD, too many women are not receiving services, which likely speaks to a variety of access barriers and individual and societal perceptions of need, which suggests a need for enhanced identification of women with SUD in the clinical setting for a more nuanced understanding of their need for and use of treatment services. Thank you.
Postpartum.
Did you look at all parity women or just, okay. I agree 100%. So the MSAN algorithm took those women out as best they could. So if there was another ICD-9 code for a type of condition that we need a pain medication, a chronic pain medication, those women were not considered to be in our exposed group. Yeah, but that's a really great point.
And then the last piece is, of course, the thing that we discovered earlier is that a lot of
And I do think that another limitation of this study, of course, and I mentioned this before, was that the treatment measures only publicly funded treatment services, which will disproportionately affect lower income women too. So thank you so much. I think that's a great point. So Pell, the great part of Pell, which is the core database, is that it also links to children's use of early intervention services up until preschool age, I believe. So there's a woman I didn't mention it. There's a woman at MGH, her name's Susan Huang, and she's really interested in looking at women who are babies who are born opiate addicted and what are their long-term outcomes, and more longitudinally than we are here.